The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
One airport in northern Afghanistan, we had four planes on the tarmac full of people, including over 100 Americans. We had everything. The people had been brought safely to the airport at great risk to volunteers. The planes were all paid for. We had attorneys working with the Office of Foreign Assets Control to ensure that everything was by the book and we weren't bringing terrorists out. I heard about this on Tuesday night, but everything changed by the next morning. And as of Sunday, this satellite shot shows the status of our planes. There they are, the four of them. They hadn't moved one inch. So what happened? Well, I can tell you now, the United States government stepped in and refused to give the planes any clearance to land in any neighboring country or any country. They dug their feet in for so long that the Taliban took notice. And then they got involved and refused the planes from even taking off.
That's conservative commentator Glenn Beck there explaining what's happened over the past week as he's had those four planes ready to take Americans out of Afghanistan. But it was the U.S. government, it was the State Department and the White House that prevented it from happening, not the Taliban. The State Department, Anthony Blinken's State Department, Joe Biden's White House, they're the ones stonewalling this operation, and it continues. It continues. There was a Reuters report this morning that the Taliban are going to allow 200 Americans to leave, not from this northern Afghanistan airport, but from Kabul. So evidently, this is another grouping of Americans. All of a sudden, the numbers, they're rising. Have you noticed? 200 in Kabul. Glenn Beck said he had over 100 in that northern Afghanistan town. Pretty amazing developments. At the mercy of the Taliban, that's what we're left to. The United States begging for the Taliban to let them go. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're very grateful to have you as one of our, or maybe several, if you're listening together with family and friends, of our growing audience. We're appreciative of CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform that takes the audio version of this program, this broadcast, into 11 million American homes. And if you want to get to the TV version or the video version, the video presentation of this show, we provide that for you exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. There's a banner advertisement for it every day at the time of the showing or at the time of the live stream. But you can go to thetrumpet.com/live to get to the live stream page together with all of the programs that we post after the fact. Lots to get to, lots and lots to get to on today's program. But just keep in mind, who was it? I think it was the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Milley, who said that it's about 200. Then there were those estimates. It's really in the low hundreds, probably closer to 100. And now we find out, based on this Reuters report, there's 200 leaving, evidently today, from Kabul. And now these 100 that are still left stranded in northern Afghanistan. Regarding the 200, this is Reuters. It says the Taliban were pressed to allow the departures by U.S. Special Representative Zalmay Khalilzad, said the official who spoke to Reuters, on condition of anonymity. So, of course, what's not discussed here is what the U.S. had to give in return. And, of course, the Taliban, they are pressing and pressing hard for international legitimacy. They want the United States to recognize this terrorist group as the legitimate government of Afghanistan. And then who knows how many billions of dollars are at play here as well. Reuters says the departures were expected on Thursday, that's today. The official could not say whether these Americans and third country nationals were among people stranded for days and Mazar-i-Sharif because their private charters have not been allowed to depart. So they don't know if it's some of these people that Glenn Beck was about to usher out. But judging by what Glenn Beck says, once those planes were grounded or prevented from taking off, the people, the Americans that were on those planes, they got out of there. Evidently, they're not being held hostage forcibly by the Taliban, but they're hiding out. And Glenn Beck says it's going to be a chore just to try to get them assembled together again, assuming they are allowed to fly out. Here's a bit more from, actually, first, let's go to what Anthony Blinken said yesterday. This is American weakness at its absolute worst. Listen to the Secretary of State, clip one.
As of now, the Taliban are not permitting the charter flights to depart. They claim that some of the passengers do not have the required documentation. While there are limits to what we can do without personnel on the ground, without an airport with normal security and procedures in place, we are working to do everything in our power to support those flights and to get them off the ground. We've made clear to all parties, we've made clear to the Taliban that these charters need to be able to depart, and we continue every day, virtually every hour, to work on that.
Shameful, shameful weakness there. That's the Secretary of State saying we've made it clear that they need to be able to leave. But you listen to Glenn Beck's account. He says, look, we were about to go, but the State Department, that man's State Department, wouldn't let it happen. And look, we've got internal emails that reveal the truth, that prove Glenn Beck's telling the truth. An email from the State Department saying, you can't fly here, you can't fly here, you can't fly here. As Glenn Beck explains, they're not even trying to fly into the United States. They just want to get out of Afghanistan and get somewhere else where, okay, if the U.S. government needs to vet them more, fine, have at it. He's all for that, Glenn Beck is. They're not vetting the refugees that came in. They're given free rein. They're in the States now, hiring Uber to drive wherever they want. What a disaster. We're reduced to this, begging the terrorists to do the right thing. Begging for the terrorists to show mercy. Even as we're also saying, you know, hey, these are our new partners. You watch. This is what's coming next from the illegitimate administration in the United States. Recognizing this organization that we were fighting against for 20 years. 20 years. Listen again to Glenn Beck from last evening, clip six.
The people on those planes had to get off the plane, give their papers and their passports and our manifest list to the Taliban. Many of them ran to safe houses. Others, we don't know where they are. If the government does ever clear those four planes, we have to go back out and find them and bring them in. One person is dead. One person is dead. The blood is on the hands of the State Department and White House.
Have you heard anything about that over the last few days? You've heard about the planes being stranded, some of you. One person is dead, and the blood is on the hands of the White House and the State Department. There were some tweets yesterday coming from a journalist, a blue check, saying that today certain neighborhoods in and around Kabul are going to have their internet services cut, stopped. And so, you know, in one sense, we've been playing these clips from the State Department saying, it's hard. We don't have anybody on the ground. We don't have personnel. So we're doing our best, but there's only so much that we can do. And in a lot of ways, that's true. If the United States doesn't, If it doesn't have the pride and its power to just go in there and get the Americans out, this is what we're reduced to, begging for the terrorists to do the right thing. Now, if there's an internet blackout, who knows what's happening? Door to door to door. Who knows what's happening? If certain courageous journalists like Laura Logan, if journalists like that aren't going to be getting these text alerts from people being persecuted in Afghanistan, in Kabul, well, the world may not even know. On the other hand, maybe some of these things will be showing up on video. down the road as well. ISIS, you know, they like to do that sort of thing. One more clip here from Glenn Beck. This is from his show last night, clip 7.
By all means, vet everyone fleeing the country. Everyone. But these flights aren't landing in the U.S. They are landing in safe airports where they are being vetted in a safe environment. Just don't leave people like lambs to the slaughter. The Biden administration has been impeding this the entire way, and I am not the only one reporting this.
That's right. There's a few others. There's a few others, and we're happy to do it here on this program because it doesn't get near as much coverage as it should. One person's already dead, says Glenn Beck. How about that, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post? If we could just save one life, we've heard that before, haven't we? Well, we would stop heaven and earth if we could to just save one life. Well, here's one, perhaps many more that we don't know about yet. My father wrote in his trumpet brief last night, this is going to be featured, by the way, in the next issue of the Trumpet magazine. If you're not subscribing to that magazine, you need to. That's where you can get tomorrow's news. Today, you can understand the world we're living in. You can understand your world. You can see what's happening and what's coming. As long as you view world events under the light of Bible prophecy, just call toll-free 1-866-930-3024 and request a subscription, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. He wrote last night, the Afghanistan catastrophe is an abject, shameful dishonor for America. The mighty American military simply surrendered to the Taliban. Yeah, now we're begging for the Taliban to let our citizens go. We just surrendered. Our nation lost nearly 2,500 soldiers and spent $275 million per day, every day, for 7,267 days in that war. More than $2 trillion in 20 years. Yet our soldiers were evacuated in absurd haste to leave this nation to barbarians. I mean, let's call it what it is. These are barbarians. These are the sons of the barbarians that the U.S. troops encountered 20 years ago. And they're just as barbaric as their fathers. That's what they've been taught. This has been the worst foreign policy disaster in the nation's history. We've had a lot of worst ofs in the last few years. That's because America's under attack. It says here, this terrible defeat was a spectacle seen by the entire world. And they were watching intently. It will mar our history, perhaps for the rest of time. Now listen to this. This is in the next trumpet. Many people say it proves Joe Biden's incompetence, but this catastrophe isn't the result of bungling and bad judgments. It is a deliberate, planned effort to destroy America, and it has been terribly successful. America under attack. It's right here. It's a deliberately planned attack on America. How do you explain it otherwise? On the one hand, trusting the Taliban, trusting them to remove the Americans. On the other hand, telling Glenn Beck and his people, no, you can't leave Afghanistan. The people on those planes aren't properly vetted, as if they properly vetted all the ones they just crammed onto those cargo jets. Tens of thousands. I mean, they were bragging about it. Over 100,000 evacuated. 100,000 refugees that we knew nothing or little about. And here are at least 100, over 100, says Glenn Beck. Hiding away in safe houses now. Listen again, like my father says, I mean, the whole world is watching. They watch. They watch when the illegitimate president speaks. And he's desperately working to change the subject. This afternoon, it's all COVID, COVID, COVID. His six-step plan, he's looking at what's happening in Australia and Canada, states like California and New York, and he loves it. He loves the crackdown. He loves the authority that law enforcement has to impose the will of the federal government on the people. That's what he wants. Yes, if you work for the federal government, you're going to have to get the jab. 2.1 million Americans have to. They have to. So says the fake president. That's going to be written into law. Well, really, it's just an executive action, isn't it? It's not constitutional. It's not lawful in that sense. It's unconstitutional. It breaks the law. And yet they push ahead. They impose their will on the sheeple, the subjects. What do you think that's going to do for his popularity ratings? We'll get to that here in just a second. Listen to the Secretary of State again from yesterday, clip two.
Yesterday, the Taliban named a new interim government. We're assessing the announcement, but despite professing that a new government would be inclusive, the announced list of names consists exclusively of individuals who are members of the Taliban or their close associates, and no women. The international community has made clear its expectation that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government.
No women? This is what you're concerned about here? How about the fact that Obama released four hardened criminals, terrorists, killers? And they're now in top positions in the Taliban government. That's right. Peter Doocy's right. There's more killers and murderers in the Taliban government than there are women. And there's the United States. There's your woke Secretary of State. We've looked at the list and we've found that there are no women. And I don't know. This might call into question their legitimacy. We're going to reserve judgment. We're going to evaluate their actions. Come on! The terrorists are returning to the battlefield. The terrorists now have top positions in the administration, if you can call it that. And Obama made it happen. That's right. He said, I should have brought the sound bites. He said it would never happen. Oh no, we're going to keep close watch on this. They won't return to the battlefield. We've got help from Qatar. Qatar's going to help us. And now look at what happens. These are the government agents over in Afghanistan that we're negotiating with. These are the ones that we're begging. Please do the right thing. Please let our citizens go. How far the United States has fallen. One of our viewers sent me this verse, Jeremiah 20 and verse 4. Says, for thus says the Eternal, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself. You're going to terrorize yourself. That's what we've done in Afghanistan. We just pulled out all the troops and we're terrorizing. I mean, it's not the Taliban, Glenn Beck says, that's holding this back. It's the State Department. It's the White House. I will make you a terror to yourself. It says here, and to all your friends, you're going to terrorize your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Do you see where this is leading? This is leading to our captivity. The attack right now is from within, and America's enemies from without, they are lining up, raising up their own armies, as I said yesterday, with respect to Europe, conducting business as usual with the Taliban in Kabul, if you're China or Russia, helping themselves to some of that military hardware built by the U.S. of A. If you're in Tehran, yeah, sure. Give us some of those tanks. Give us those Black Hawk helicopters. There's reports now that China may come in and take over the Bagram airfield. Now, they've got the technicians. They've got the expertise to be able to use those helicopters and those planes that the U.S. State Department said that, no, come on. They won't be used. That's what the spokesman for the Pentagon said, John Kirby. I know it's $90 billion worth, but it will never be used. They just don't have the expertise to use it, you see. As they carry on with their delusional thinking and reasoning, just living in fantasy land, and then reduced to statements like you just heard. I've reviewed the list, and there's no women. There's no women. Well, no wonder. Have you been watching anything for the past 20 years? They oppress women. They persecute women. They rape women. And he speaks in such soft, peaceful-sounding tones, as if there's still hope that this is all going to work out, this new partnership with the Taliban. The Taliban. My father wrote a booklet. We have had our last chance, the last update for that, 2013. And he says here, we're fast losing our world dominance. Speaking of America, of course. That is mainly because we no longer have a world overview. That's why we often work against our friendly allies, like in 1979 with the Shah of Iran. The U.S. helped force him from power. His departure opened the door to the radical Islamic movement all over the world, led by Iran. We betrayed the Shah in 1979, and look at what that opened the way for. The Islamic State of Iran. We don't have a world view. We don't even look back at 30 or 40 years of history. We're just staring at the palm of our hand almost. Now we hope the Taliban will do the right thing. It doesn't look so good that there's no women in their government. These people are like, they're like little children. Children oppress. Children rule. My father said about Iran, the Islamic State, that force alone has greatly destabilized the world. It is the major cause of a violent and unstable Middle East, and it's directly tied to America's weakness. It all started with American weakness, and that's what we're seeing on display here. Oh, we've cleared the way for a terrorist superstate. And look at what's transpired just since, was it last Monday? So 10 days. 10 days since the evacuation. Something that Joe Biden called an extraordinary success. In great again. My father wrote, America has receded into the background and is declining rapidly. Being weak causes violence and wars. That's what we need to see here. We need to take a world view of this. We need to take a long view of this. What happens when you see the American superpower weak and humiliated? It leads to violence and wars. Tomorrow's news today, you heard it here. You heard it here first. It says the fact that America is withdrawing from the world stage will only allow evils to increase. As we get weaker, people will attack us more and more violently. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. It's not a pleasant message to deliver, but that is the truth. Listen again to Secretary of State Blinken, clip 3.
We're also concerned by the affiliations and track records of some of those individuals. The Taliban seek international legitimacy and support. Any legitimacy, any support will have to be earned.
You're a little bit concerned about some of those officials? You mean like the five killers that Obama released from Gitmo a few years ago? Just 7, 8 years ago? Traded them for a traitor. We got the traitor, and they got a government administration. They got all of these top chiefs now running Afghanistan. What did we get out of Bo Bergdahl? That's the United States of today. There's no help, is there? There's no helper, 2 Kings 14. Only God could save us, and it would be a temporary saving, but only God could save us. We have an article coming out in the next trumpet as well, the modern King Jeroboam II. Some wonderful history covered in that article, and prophecy as well. I mentioned the article that my father wrote on Afghanistan. That's coming out in the next issue of the trumpet. And then one on Jeroboam. some excellent, excellent material. As I said, if you don't have a subscription to the Trumpet magazine, make sure that you get one, because there's no other publication like it. And more, you're going to see the voice, the platform that God's given to His church. You're going to see it stand out, just speaking basic truth, common sense truth. Of course, it's all based on the Bible, Bible prophecy. But it's going to stand out. You see the satanic effort to just blot out anything that would go contrary to the conventional thinking coming from the experts. Satan's going to take aim at this church. God gives His church protection. But there is a famine of the word coming. So you better act on this while you can. Time is short. Time is short. I've talked a little bit of late about Joe Biden's poll numbers, his job approval rating. The one the other day, 43%. This from YouGov Economist. Joe Biden is at a 39% approval rate. And now he's going to announce today, if you work for the government, you 2.1 million Americans, you've got to get the jab. You have to. So we've gone from 15 days to huddle up and stop the spread to now, if you don't get the jab, you lose your job. Wow. How far we've come in just 18 months, 19 months. This is lower. This approval rating is lower than Donald Trump's approval rating at any time during his four-year presidency. You'd never know it based upon the media that just hated Donald Trump with a passion. They hated him. I mean, they made it seem like he was Adolf Hitler, that he had a slim minority of supporters. As it was with Donald Trump, you had all those fake polls, whether it was his approval ratings or the polls leading into the presidential elections. That president was popular. He is still to this day. Joe Biden, even in these left-wing polls, 39%. 39%. 50% disapprove of Joe Biden's job or what he's doing, his job approval. 50% disapprove. 39% approve of it. On the point of just even liking Joe Biden, 36% like him, 53% dislike him. He came in, remember, promising to unite the country. And it looks as though at this point he's making good on that promise. He's uniting the country against him. Look at his campaigns last year. Nobody showed up. And the only way that he could pull off the election steal is if tens of millions of votes were added to the rolls. Fake votes. In the world of fake news, fake government, a fake administration. And this afternoon, that administration introduces his six-step plan. He really looks at Australia, and I mean, he wants the United States to go in that direction. I saw a video clip this morning of a guy in hotel quarantine in Australia, and he was just looking through the eye hole of his door at someone across the hall who was just bashing the door and the walls, trying to get out, screaming, "I've been in here 14 days. I'm supposed to be out." Now, who knows? I didn't have time to look into that video and to vet it, I suppose. But this is just madness, what's going on with the lockdowns, with these Australian premiers saying things like, if you don't get your jab, you can't function in society. And now Joe Biden's going to say that to federal employees today. Or at least you don't have a job if you don't get your jab. There's a report just this week about how that even Biden supporters, even his staff in the White House, when he speaks, they just turn it off or turn down the volume. They can't bear the thought of listening to him live. This is happening in the White House. What a hoax. some Biden White House officials mute Biden when he's speaking. They just know it's going to be a train wreck, so they don't want to be there and witness it live. Maybe they can get the clips later, I guess, as they go around social media. Andrew Miller, he provides some content for this show there in the editorial department. But he was saying how that almost every time he hears Biden speaks, he thinks of this section in Raising the Ruins about Mr. Dukacs. I guess I can paraphrase most of it, but Joe Dukacs Sr., he took over after Herbert Armstrong back in 1986, and all of his speeches were prepared for him. They were handed to him, and he would read through them, and he would make a lot of word stumbles, and he wasn't quite to the point of senility that Joe Biden is. But he made a lot of mistakes, and he wasn't super eloquent in his overall presentation. But it says in Raising the Ruins, after referring to these rumors, the fact that that Joe Dukacs was just being fed the script, and he was a script reader and nothing more. Joe Dukacs Jr., that would be his son. He was one of the script authors, as was Mike Fizell and others. It didn't seem to occur to people that if my dad didn't like or agree with material, Mike Fizell, who was his executive assistant and editorial advisor, or others prepared for him, he could have changed it or not used it at all. So Joe Jr. writes about that history later and says, oh, so big deal. Big deal if someone wrote out everything for him. He could have changed it or modified it here or there. And again, there's nothing wrong with speech writers or someone helping a leader, doing some research, gathering some content, and so on. But if it's going to come across with power and sincerity, if it's going to be genuine, I mean, you've got to be able to speak it from the heart. You've got to believe. We have a lot of people around here helping us, researching, studying into the Word of God, looking at old Trumpet magazines, old Trumpet articles to find out what God inspired 10, 12, 15 years ago. And you hear those quotes brought to your attention on this show. It's awesome. It is a team effort. But this, I mean, this back then, it was all just like Zechariah 3 prophesied. It was all the fellows or the scholars in the tabernacle, Malachi 2. And then Joe Dukacs Sr., he was just like the robot or the puppet out front. And we're seeing that same history, basically. And they're both named Joe, as it happens. It says here, and it wasn't just Dukacs' sermons that others prepared. Dukacs Jr. continued, my dad hired Mike Fizell to assist him, especially in writing and theology, and he could have fired him at any time. My dad spent hours every day with Mike, working out details of letters, articles, and sermons. In 2002, Fizell admitted that as Mr. Dukacs' assistant, he was primarily responsible for editing and drafting his written material. So all that we were hearing back in the 80s, the early 90s, it was like we were just listening to Mike Fizell. These ministers that were nowhere to be found during the administration of Herbert Armstrong. All these imposters that came in. They hated the church. They hated the church teachings. They hated Mr. Armstrong. And they wanted to fundamentally transform it. And that's what's happening here. The Biden family, they've been compromised by the communist Chinese. They've been compromised by the CCP. Now, Barack Obama's got a lot of leverage. We saw it with the evacuation. The media turning on him. Barack Obama's behind that. This, like I say, is probably why he's going to Delaware so often, to get his marching orders. He's being told what to say. And he'll be told today, give your 6-point plan. Then when you get to the end, don't take any questions. Certainly don't take them on the subject of Afghanistan. Just walk away. Build back better. Show your back to the press corps. And that's what he'll do. Turning his back on the United States of America. Massive hoax, a fraud from the very beginning. With respect to spiritual Israel, 2 Thessalonians 2 says it was just a big lie from the very beginning. That's what we're living through right now. I haven't had time to get to this article. I think I had it last Friday. Catherine Engelbrecht and True the Vote. They're behind this investigation that involves several states, but they've come out with some initial reports on what happened November 3rd in Georgia and Arizona. And this is from Breitbart's coverage of it. True, the vote has thus far developed precise patterns of life for 242 suspected ballot traffickers in Georgia and 202 traffickers in Arizona. They say they've given it this reporting to the FBI, but the FBI hasn't done anything with it. Surprise, surprise. Hey, there is quite a lot of cheating going on. No, 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 Bill Barr said on the way out. Can't look into it. And now, of course, Biden's DOJ and FBI, they're not going to go anywhere near it. Well, once Breitbart covered this, notice what this gal wrote at True the Vote. It says, all our research, including suspected locations where ballots were delivered, processed, and distributed, along with individual devices associated, has been submitted in the form of a formal complaint along with all data to the FBI. Briefings have been provided to state law enforcement and political leadership in several states. It says, we've all acquired over a petabyte of video surveillance data. The quality of this video is inferior overall. Lighting is bad. Cameras are poorly positioned. Timestamps are manipulated. Key time frames are often missing. Nevertheless, we are working video by video using proprietary AI-based code we've written to screen the over 100,000 clips in our possession. The result? We're successfully finding video evidence that corroborates the digital data and supports the need for full investigations by law enforcement. It says our novel approach offers never-before-seen insights into exploitation of America's elections. To date, law enforcement hasn't taken action, but it says make no mistake, what we found will be made known if law enforcement doesn't initiate investigations. We have plans to release all data, all video, publicly. I mean, what they have on video is these people in the dark of night going to these ballot drop boxes and dumping in entire backpack fulls of ballots, which is illegal. It's one ballot per person. Or maybe if you're taking it for grandma who's sick, you can drop it in. You certainly can't drop in a whole backpack full of them. They've got 242 people on film doing this in Georgia, in areas like Fulton County and such. So they're on video. See, it couldn't have happened without the ballots. That's why you need the plandemic. What's the clip? I think it's clip 4. This is Jen Psaki inadvertently saying the silent part out loud.
Conversation to be wide-ranging, to cover a range of topics of mutual interest, everything from COVID-19 and our efforts to address the global pandemic,
Address the global plandemic, she said. We've got to put together a montage with all of the silent parts said out loud. It's all going according to plan. And of course, it's being exposed. It's being exposed. The fraud, the attack. Glenn Beck's exposing it. Americans under attack in Afghanistan, not from the Taliban, but from the White House and the State Department. What did he say, Joe Biden, before November 3rd? Wow, we've got the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Pretty amazing history that we're living through. Agonizing at times, for sure, but exciting nonetheless because Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. You read America Under Attack and Great Again. And you know right where we are in prophecy, as I said, that next Trumpet magazine, my father's article, and then the one on Jeroboam the second. Again, very illuminating subjects to get into at this point in time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
I mentioned just the other day that, well, I guess yesterday, because the Feast of Trumpets was on Tuesday, but we talked briefly about how God pleads with mankind. He has to send the sword. He reaches out with a warning message delivered in love. And he's been doing it for decades and decades, almost a century in these last days. But soon he'll have to plead with the sword to get our attention, to get us to a point where we'll listen to God and follow his instructions. You look into the Bible, there's obviously hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that describe the blessed utopia of tomorrow, the world tomorrow, as Herbert Armstrong always called it. But then you consider the prophecies that unfold just before the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And I mean, this is what it takes for God to establish utopia. Mankind has proven himself unwilling to just accept God's word and to be doers from the very beginning. Going back to the Garden of Eden, you have Adam and Eve rejecting God's revelation, rejecting God's government, and deciding to instead go it alone. And God cut them off from the tree of life. And mankind has been cut off from the tree of life and from God's Holy Spirit for 6,000 years. But look in Zechariah 14. Look at what God has to do to get our attention. Look at what it takes to establish utopia on earth. Zechariah 14:1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." God's going to gather all nations at Jerusalem to battle. I mean, the God, our great creator God, the God of all, the God of heaven above. And he's got to bring entire nations together, their armies, obviously, to battle them. Verse 3 says, "Then shall the Eternal go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Has this happened before? Are you just going to be like so many others and quickly dismiss these prophecies of God? This prophecy is about to be fulfilled. You don't hear it in the Protestant denominations of today. Some of them, I mean, they really talk the talk. They really do. They're behind this administration. They're very much into politics, voting for this or that. But do they get into Bible prophecy? Are they true ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Do they represent this future government, this government that's to be established on earth, headquartered in Jerusalem? He's going to gather all nations to Jerusalem. Verse 4 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south." This is referring, of course, to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Speaking of prophecy, how many people believe in the return of Jesus Christ? How many people pray as Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Do you make that prayer? And when you do you mean it? Do you pray it with fervency? Do you look at this dying world and say, "God, send your son, hasten the day of his return"? Bring him back sooner rather than later so that we can just carry on with this wonderful world of tomorrow. Too many of us are like Lot's wife. We have to practically be dragged out of Sodom. And then even then, we look back longingly. Well, but I liked my neighborhood. I liked my community. Well, it was full of sodomy and all kinds of filth and squalor and sin. But it's just so easy, isn't it, to cozy up to sin? We're drawn to it. Human nature is drawn to it. That's why, as I've been telling the students, it seems like every other day, that's why we've got to set our minds on the things above, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We've got to get outside of Sodom and just go forward with Christ. Run if you have to. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we should flee fornication. I mean, that's a strong word. Run away from it. Just be like Joseph with Potiphar's wife. Ah, this is a bad situation. I'm not going to hang around here when she's starting to take off her clothes. He just ran. He just got out of there. That was a bad situation. And he didn't trust himself. He didn't just hang around sin and say, well, you know what? I know God and I'll be strong here. The Bible says if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Get rid of the temptation, so that you can just obey God and his laws. When the time comes for us to get out of this land so that we can be protected in a place of final training, a place of protection and safety, I'm sure there's going to be a few that say, no, it's not really that bad, is it? Well, we better be watching world events because it is that bad. This is a filthy world, an evil world. Paul said it in the first century. And if only he could have seen or had the vision to see ahead to this day, when you've got pornography pulling in more revenue than football, baseball, and basketball here in the United States combined. Is the problem Republicans or Democrats? Or does it go deeper than that? It goes deeper than that. This is beyond politics. This is a society just absolutely drenched in sin. And it's destroying families. And family is the foundational bedrock of any stable civilization or society. You get rid of that foundation. You get rid of that spiritual stability. And what are you left with? A structure that doesn't have a foundation. As soon as the storm comes along, it just washes away. It's gone. It's over. This is referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Do you believe the prophecies of God? Do you believe verse 9? It says, "And the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." See, one supreme ruler on earth. You talk about a new world order. Communists like to talk about a new world order. There was a health official or a premier down in Australia. She let the silent part out loud. Well, in the new world order, it's going to be like just like this, this, and this. I mean, this is new. We're in the world of COVID. World War flu. You know, they ought to call it the Fauci flu because he funded it. It was engineered by human beings, brought to you by the United States. Is the United States under attack? Is there an attack from within? You better believe there is. Fauci designed the flu, and now Fauci's insisting on mandatory jabs to guard against the flu, and it doesn't even work. You got the entire University of Georgia football team coming down with COVID, and they're all vaccinated. All of them. Well, nearly all of them. And the coach says, I don't know what's happening here. I mean, these are people who are getting sick, and they've all been vaccinated. I thought it was supposed to protect us. Well, it's not protecting us. It's making us a lot sicker. It's destroying our faith in God. It's getting us away from common sense. like the laws of radiant health, sunlight, outdoors, fresh air, getting deep breathing in. How do you do that when your mask is on you all day? What a world. Is this world going to continue on? You look at the trajectory. Look at where things are headed. We pray thy kingdom come every day, because this is what we want. This is what our hearts and minds are set on. The eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. But what does it take? Consider what it takes for this to happen. Verse 12, it says, "This shall be the plague with which the Eternal will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot while they're still on their feet. Their eyes shall rot in their sockets, and their tongues shall rot in their mouths." There was a film many years ago, I think it was Steven Spielberg. He tried to create this scene. He drew inspiration from Zechariah 14. And you saw on film, of course, it was done with you know, wax beings or melting with wax involved and so on. It wasn't actual people dying. But what a vivid image of people just melting. It says, "On that day, a great panic from the Eternal shall fall on them, so that each will seize the hand of a neighbor, and the hand of the one will be raised against the hand of the other. Even Judah will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be collected, gold, silver, and garments in great abundance." So much death and devastation. Isaiah 24 says there's only going to be a few men left following the tribulation on the day of the Lord. And this tells you about the curses that God has to strike on people that fight against him just to bring humanity to the point of submission to God. And then in the midst of all this destruction and desolation, as he says there, he'll gather all of the gold and the silver and so on, and then start rebuilding. Actually, not rebuilding, but building anew. And it's all starting in Jerusalem. And that God family vision will spread over the earth over the course of the millennium during the world tomorrow. Verse 16 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king." Think about that. These same nations that at one time they went up to Jerusalem to fight against the king. But now they go up to actually worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to worship Jesus Christ, to learn about the precious and valuable laws of God, to learn about the holy and the just and the perfect laws of God, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, as it says in this passage, to observe the fall festivals, trumpets, atonement, Tabernacles and the last great day, to be reminded every year as you go through those seven annual festivals, to be reminded of God's magnificent purpose and plan as it's being worked out here on earth. It's a glorious vision, and it's prophesied, as I say, over and the Bible is just filled with page after page after page describing in vivid detail the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth in power and glory. This is where God wants for us to set our minds every day. Isaiah 59:20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Eternal." He is coming. He is returning, and soon. God says, set our minds on that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things that'll be added unto you as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you want to email the program, write us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.